Greetings to each of you. If you came to God's house this morning to worship, I believe your heart has to have been drawn into worship. That's why we gather in, because we come for to worship God, and through that worship experience we find inspiration. This morning we were reminded that God cares about each one of us personally. Your name is written in the palm of his hand. He looks at that, and he thought about you this morning. Through the Sunday school discussion, we were reminded that God doesn't give us anything that he doesn't give us the grace. He proportions the grace with the trials that come our way. God cares about us so much. Think about that. I don't know what you're going through, what you've gone through this week, or what we may go through in the coming week, but I am assured that God will give us the grace. God has given us the grace, and he will give us the grace to go through whatever he has in store for us in the coming weeks. Well, I don't plan to preach real long this morning. My wife and I plan to head to Lancaster for a family get-together and lunch in there. And so instead of preaching longer, maybe I'll just quickly use the moments we have. And we'll probably leave as soon as I get to the back of the church. So if I'm gone, you know what happened. You may open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 this morning. I'd like to use several very familiar parables that Jesus talked about. This is a parable. Usually when we think about Luke 15, we think of the parable of the prodigal son. And I'd like to think about that story this morning. There's two shorter parables prior to that. I think I'm going to read the whole chapter. The title of the message is Living in a Far Country at Home. I like to think about the possibility this morning of living in a far country at home. Now, I gave that title to the message, and I've been rolling the title around in my mind, and I all of a sudden realized that that title could indicate two different ways of living in a far country at home. There is a sense in which we are in a far country right now, and our citizenship is in heaven, but I was thinking about the title the way the story is in Luke 15. We are at home. Maybe we could say we're at home in, as Christians, we're at home in the church, in our congregation. We are at home because we're at peace with God in our hearts. But we're living in a far country, and there's some possibilities that maybe we're closer to the far country sometimes than we realize. And so I'd like to consider some of that as we look at this story. But again, there's some other things in this story, and that's why I'd like to read the entire chapter and look at the accounts together here this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him, take notice the people that were around him, who this multitude was, the society that was around Jesus. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain, have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, his elder son, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Wherefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, saying unto him, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Many times we look at this account, and like I said, Luke 15, we call it the story of the prodigal son. I read the entire account to you because this morning I believe that it's more than the story of the prodigal son. I believe it's the story of a father whose heart was grieving over loss. It's another way we could look at it. Because Jesus is who is in focus, and he began to talk and to teach and to speak to his people that were gathered around him. And as the publicans and the religious group of people, the scribes and the Pharisees were around there, they began to blame Jesus for the group of people that he was with, for the people that were gathered around and who he was associating with. And Jesus just reminded them in the way that only Jesus could remind and teach them. He spoke to them these three parables. He reminded them that he is here for the presence of seeking and saving the lost, hunting out those that had needs. Jesus spoke some stern words at times, but he done it in a discreet manner. Even to the religious leaders, when they found fault with him, he responded to their charge by these parables: the parable of the shepherd, the seeking woman, and the waiting and the compassionate father that we just read. But very little attention is given to the heartbeat of Jesus. And this morning, I'd just like to remind us that the heartbeat of Jesus isn't any different than it ever was. Jesus still cares about the people that were made in his own image. And in fact, I'd like to just read a few verses from Matthew chapter 9. You don't have to turn there. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said it in just a little different way that helps us understand. Matthew 9 and verse 12. And when Jesus heard that, okay, backing up to verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Then he says this, he says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. That's a phrase that we read over and we don't stop and ponder it very often. But Jesus was saying, those that are okay, those that have salvation, those that are saved, they aren't the ones that need the doctor, putting it in my own words. He says it's the ones that are sick that need the doctor. But he said, you go and decide who's okay and who's sick, is what he's saying. It might not be the way you think it is. You see, he was addressing people who were acting very pious, very religious, acting like they were okay. They were not a people who were identifying with the prodigal son. And Jesus was saying to them, but go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. You see, Jesus said that because here was this group of very religious people who were making all kinds of sacrifices. They were giving, they were sacrificing, they were doing all these wonderful things in a righteous way and in a pious way and acting like they were okay. And Jesus was saying that I really don't care about your sacrifices. I want your heart. That's what I want. I want your love. I want your attention. I want your heart, is what he was saying. And he was reminding them that that is the very reason he's sitting among the sinners and the publicans, and why he's sharing with them and socializing with them. It's the very reason we come to Luke chapter 15, and he gives us these three parables. Now, quickly, I'd like to just make some parallels for us today. First of all, how many times do we read Luke chapter 15, the story of that prodigal son, and we identify ourselves with the prodigal son? You see, if you're like I am, I read that story many, many times, and well, that's a boy who decided to leave home and turn his back and went and lived it up, is what he was. And no, we haven't done those things. And thank God if you haven't done those things. But we exclude ourselves from this story many, many times, and I believe it's because we say to ourselves, well, we have never demanded the inheritance from our parents before their death as the prodigal did. We never did that, so that story is not for us. We haven't applied for a passport, we might say today, to flee to some foreign country, to get out of the U.S., to get away from all our troubles and everything back here. So that story of the prodigal son, I don't identify with it. We haven't been living a life of drugs and alcohol and drunkenness and immorality and all those things that society around us. We haven't done those things. So that prodigal son, no, that story, that's not us. Most of us who read this story are not working in the pig pen today where the prodigal son was. We can't identify with the pig pen. In fact, we don't know what hunger's like. We read this story with excess weight in our bodies because we've done ate too much. We don't know what it's like to be in the pig pen and be hungry. So that story with that prodigal, we we tend not to identify with that. Well, maybe as we do that, we automatically start becoming like the scribes and Pharisees. We start becoming like, maybe like the older brother. Remember, there was an older brother in here, and he became very upset when the son came home, and the father's heart was touched because the son came home. Maybe it's easier for us, and we don't think of ourselves in this way either. We don't think that we are like the older brother, but maybe we sometimes come closer to this self-righteous attitude than what we think. Do we find it easy to be satisfied with ourselves? That we weren't in the pig pen? That we don't identify with the prodigal? That wasn't our lifestyle, and we start becoming self-righteous because of that. You see, most of us here today, I believe, would consider ourselves as never having taken a life. We never killed a person. Maybe we weren't taken up in the habit of drugs and alcohol and smoking and all those kind of things like some other people were. And so we take up the self-righteous attitude. I was at home and I served you, Dad. All these years I was right here. I didn't do all those things. But sometimes I have to wonder, do we find it easy to be judgmental towards those who have been there, have done that? We don't identify with them, but we somehow think they're of a lower class because they went there. They just don't quite measure up. Do we sometimes find ourselves being judgmental of people who have brought injury into our lives? Or maybe into their own lives, have brought injury, let's say it like that, have brought injury into their own lives and poverty into their own experiences because of their own self-inflicted wounds. And we look down on them. Maybe it's not always that it started with themselves, but Brother Randall reminded us of those two boys this morning who were discouraged because of the treatment they had from their parents, and then they were tempted to go down, and there's many people like that in our world and in society who do go down, and they go off into the pig pen because of their discouragement, and then we can look down on them. Another question I'd like for us to think about is, I pondered this and I thought about this. I had to ask myself the question, how long has it been since I have enjoyed a feast with God because of the return of a prodigal? Do we rejoice when the prodigal comes back? Or are we like the older brother sometimes and we say, he doesn't deserve that. Look at the life he lived. And look where I was. I was home. I was the good boy all the while. When was the last time that you really felt the heart of the Father as he rejoices because the prodigal comes home? Those are some things for us to think about and ask ourselves, where am I in my own Christian journey? Because you see, they will determine how close we are to the far country. Or how far away we are from the far country. That takes me to the next part. Let's consider the far country for a few moments this morning. Where is the far country? I ran across a quote from a man that said that the far country is anywhere that a man tries to live without God. That simply puts it in a nutshell real fast, doesn't it? But I think there's so much truth to that. The far country is anywhere that you try to go without God. Now, have you gone somewhere in the last year without God? Have you made some decisions without God in the last year? Have you simply done some things because that's what you wanted to do in the last year? You just thought that maybe you deserve a little bit of leisure time. You thought that maybe you deserve to treat yourself. And you knew that it wasn't quite the thing to do, but because you just simply felt like it and you thought you deserved it, you went there. And God really wasn't there with it. You see, sometimes we get closer to the far country than we want to think. Sometimes I believe the far country is just a step away. It's one step away from the will of the Father, the will of God. Maybe it's just one little thing that we know that God's Word tells us that we shouldn't do. We shouldn't indulge. The Bible even addresses, you know, that excess weight that we put on, the appetites that we have. And sometimes we just simply, we know it's there, but we totally ignore it, and we just eat it up. It's time to go out for supper somewhere. It's time to treat ourselves. I'm not suggesting that we stepped. It's like Brother Larry said in the devotion, in the Sunday school discussion this morning. God doesn't throw us in and out of heaven. Our name doesn't go in and out of the book of life, back and forth on these little things all the time. But the fact is, we may be closer to the edge of the far country than what we realize sometimes. You see, my point that I'm trying to make is, it's easy for us to say, I'm not that prodigal. I haven't done those things. I haven't gone there. I like to make a few suggestions this morning. I believe the far country is so close that all of us are familiar with it. Yet some of us do not recognize that we are living either in the far country or right on the border. I believe it's that close. Just a few points that I'd like to force to think about. The far country, I believe, begins when we demand our freedom to do what is contrary to the Father's goodwill. Mm-hmm. Whenever it's something contrary to what we know the Bible tells us, what we know is God's will for our life, sometimes God calls us to walk through some things or do some things, calls us to a work in life, and we say, no, God, I won't go there. It can be as simple as when that phone rings and it asks you, young man, to teach school, you, young sister, to teach school, or it can be to go to that mission field, or it can be to do a whole host of other things. Put in whatever you want. And you say, God, I'm not going to do that. I won't go there. I'd like to say that we're on the edge of the far country, I believe. We're on the edge. I'm not saying that you have gone into the far country and that it's sin necessary, but it can become sin. I believe the far country begins when we see life as an opportunity to be selfishly happy. Whatever it is that brings gratitude to myself, whether I have the money to buy what I want because it goes into our devotions we heard this morning, because we think that it does something for us. And we take that money and we splurge it on ourselves because I earned it, I worked for it, it's mine. Whatever it is, the far country begins when we take the opportunity to be selfishly happy. I believe that the far country begins for a person when he or she shows absolutely no concern to improve the quality of his or her spiritual life. When you think that you reached the plateau, you're on a plateau and you spiritually achieved and it's good enough where I'm at and you're satisfied with your spiritual life, it can even be that brothers or sisters come into your life and they share concern with you about some things that they see and observe, and they kind of give you warning, and you just let it go in one ear and out the other, and you say, well, that's his idea. I'm good enough. Brother and sister, if you're not concerned about your spiritual life and growing spiritually, and your desire is not to grow, that isn't that you want to grow more, you want to be a better person, I'm going to suggest that you're on the edge of the far country this morning. I believe another indication that we're in a far country or on the edge of it is when we do not care about communicating the great love of God to those who are in the far country, to those who we think are in the far country, when we're not ready to warn the sinner and comfort the saints and those kind of things, when we're just quiet and we're just living our Christian life to ourselves like we can be prone to do. You see, God wants us to touch the hearts and lives of other people. And unless we're effectively communicating His great love and sharing with others the gospel story and making it possible for those who do not know the story to hear the story and to come into the fold, I believe it's an indication that we're on the edge of the far country. Well, I trust this morning, and I hope we can be twins to the prodigal who returned. Some of us may be identical twins to the prodigals, while others of us bear at least some similarities to him. It could be, like I said, that we have departed from where we once were in the Father's house. Have we wasted our time, our talents, our treasures in selfish pursuits? Have we found our hearts hungry and thirsty for the food and fellowship of God's home and God's family? You see, those desires took us to a far country, and it's what took him to a far country. But the prodigal came home. He came back. He saw himself. He stopped and he pondered. He didn't just keep on drifting away from God. He didn't just keep on the road that he was on. The unresolved resentment that was in his life that had led him into the far country, I believe there was some of that. He began to reason out. And he came back and he said, "You know what? It's so much better back home. I'll go back. I'll respond. I'll go back home. I'll repent. And I'll go so far as even to tell my father that, you know, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore." We see the heartbeat of that son as he repented and as he came back. Today, instead of keeping on living in the far country and having those unresolved resentments that just keep on leading us further and further into the far country, let's be like the prodigal and come back. Come back to our senses and turn about, make that turn back. And God, the Father of God, the heart of the Father, the heart of God, we'll rejoice. He'll take us back. His arms of compassion will be open. He'll say, "Come on back." And he'll have a feast. He'll invite others in. And they'll be rejoicing. This morning, if you're finding life to be a fruitless rat race that brings no satisfaction to your heart, I would like to suggest that we're closer to the far country than we think we are. Let's do something about it. Let's do something more about it than just talk about it. I hear people say and talk about the rat race and how busy they are and so on and so forth. I would like to suggest that maybe it's time we stop and evaluate what's making us so busy. What's taking up our time? How many parties a week can we afford to throw into our schedule that at the end of the week, or really, what did they do for us? Ask yourself those questions. I know that God can make life busy for us, but let's stop and evaluate why life is as busy as it is sometimes. Well, we quickly went through this morning, and I told you I'm going to do that. In conclusion, I'd like to say a few things yet. The prodigal acted as an irresponsible and self-destructive person for a period, for just a short time in his life, we might say. Now, however, Just because people act irresponsible on just an occasion or a couple of occasions or for a while doesn't mean that they have to remain that way. I already talked about that. We can come back. The prodigal did come to great want. The prodigal came to his senses and he evaluated himself. And when the prodigal decided to return to the father, he came at once. He came as he was. Dear ones, this morning, if you realize that you are on the edge of the far country, turn around, get away from it, go the other way, come back, come as you are. Don't try to clean up life before you turn around and come back. Life can be cleaned up. Make haste and come back. You see, the prodigal discovered that he was before, when he was a great way off yet, he found the provisions had already been made for his return. The same is it's true for you and I. The provisions are already in place for our return this morning. He experienced great rejoicing. He saw others who had great rejoicing. In conclusion this morning, if you've been living in the far country, even at home, it's time to come home to the Father. Let's kneel for prayer.